Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started 3 weeks ago talking about knowing God. And I tell you, this is really important. This is what salvation is all about. It's not just getting your sins forgiven and having a promise that you're going to go to heaven. But heaven can actually start right now. We can know God. And I mean know Him in an intimate, close, personal way. And when that comes to pass, it just adds a dynamic to your life that sets you apart from any person who doesn't know God. So I've already been talking about this quite a bit. The last few days, what I've been discussing is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's kind of summed up in verse 7 of that chapter where he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The number one way to know God is by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." God has revealed Himself to us by faith. Most people don't like that. Most people would rather have Him reveal Himself to us by sight. Most people are so controlled by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, their five senses, that they honestly don't function very much, if any at all, intuitively based on things that they know in their heart. But here's a point that I want to get across today, is that I believe that God originally created mankind with six senses, not five, and that sixth sense was faith. I believe that originally Adam and Eve they had all five senses that we have, but they had a sixth sense called, that the Bible today would call faith, an intuitive ability to know things. And I would like to suggest to you that they were more dominated by this sixth sense of faith than they were by all five of their other senses put together. Let me use some scripture to help verify this. Very familiar passage of scripture to most people over in the third chapter of the book of Genesis is where Adam and Eve had the serpent come to them and tempt them to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they did that in verse 6. And then in verse 7, here's the very first thing that happened after they had eaten of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 7, it says, "The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Now think about this. The very first result of sin was that their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Now there's a lot that came as a result of sin, but the very first thing, this is very significant to me, is that their eyes were opened. Now what does this mean? Well, obviously, their physical eyes had been open ever since God had created them. For instance, in the previous verse, as they were partaking of this tree in verse 6, it says, "When the woman saw that the fig tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So her eyes were open at that time. She was looking at this tree. She was receiving natural input. And then in the next verse, verse 7, it says, "The eyes of them both were open." This sounds, redundant. It sounds like, what is the point here? Her eyes were already open. Here's what I believe the significance of this is. Again, it goes back to my statement that I believe God created mankind with six senses. And we could see by faith. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all of those verses that I've used the last 3 days on my program. He says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." I believe that originally Adam and Eve were seeing with their heart more than they were seeing with their eyes. For instance, here's another thing that will make this same point and help verify it. It says in this same chapter, "The woman said unto the serpent," in verse 2, he says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." That word "midst" right there literally in the Hebrew, it's a word that means that if you were to take two diagonals going through that garden, or if you were to, I don't know if diagonal is the right word, but if you were to take two lines, you know, from the outer extremities and draw through, and where they would intersect would be the exact midst. It's talking about in the very center. Now, the significance of this is that since that tree was in the exact center of the garden, just by a law of averages, Adam and Eve would have had to have passed that tree more than any other tree. This tree wasn't off in a corner in some area that they could just ignore and bypass. It was in the exact center of the garden, which meant that they had probably passed this tree dozens, hundreds, thousands of times. Who knows? And yet, in verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good. This is implying that even though this tree was prominent, it was in the very center of the garden, she had never seen it. Now, I don't believe that that means that she had never seen it in the sense that she had, her eyes had never looked at it. It wasn't like she looked away, but she had just never focused on it. She hadn't considered it. It says, again, in this verse 6, that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. It had been pleasant to the eyes ever since God created it. It didn't just all of a sudden become that way. It was her perception that began to acknowledge it and perceive it. So here again, it's making this point. They had their five senses. They had eyesight. But they really weren't controlled by it. And here's the kicker to me. This is the one that just seals it for me. Down in this seventh verse again, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. Prior to this time, now this is something you're going to have to think about, because this is something that most people have never been there. They've never thought this way, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Follow my logic. Their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked. Prior to this time, they had been naked before, and yet they had never noticed it. They had never focused on it. I believe, again, their eyes were open, but just like that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had probably seen it, but they just hadn't focused on it. The Lord said to not eat of it, and they were following God's instructions, and they just weren't dominated by it. I'm sure that the information was there, but they just were so dominated by walking by faith that they hadn't paid attention to the tree. Likewise, they had been so in the Spirit, so walking in the Spirit realm, that they had never noticed that they were naked. Now, that is just astounding to me. And because we are fallen beings and we live so much in the physical, what I'm describing right here just sounds, you know, totally off the charts. Like, oh man, there's no way this could be. But I believe that that's the way that God created man to be. And some people have come back when I've said things like this and said, well, you're missing the fact that they were clothed in the righteousness of God. It was like the glory of God overshadowed them, and they were clothed. No, they weren't. You can use that for a symbolism. You can make an analogy out of that, and that's okay. But let's look at this verse in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 25. It says, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The Scriptures make it very clear that they weren't clothed with some light or some glory or something. No, they were both butt naked, if you could allow me to say it. Amen. They didn't have a stitch of clothes on before they sinned, nor after they sinned. The only thing that changed was that they quit walking by faith, where they were knowing each other in the Spirit, and where they knew each other based on who they were on the inside, and all of a sudden they became outside-minded. They became carnal, is the scriptural word. They began to be dominated by physical, natural things that they could see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They quit walking by faith. Now, to me, that is awesome. That is amazing. To me, what that does, that gives me kind of a glimpse into how God created us to be. I believe that Adam and Eve, when they walked with God in the cool of the evening, you know, the Scriptures don't explain all of these things. And many times we just take it for granted that God appeared to them somehow or another. There was this audible voice and all of these things, and it may have been that way. But as you begin to understand that they had this sixth sense, of faith developed so much that they hadn't even noticed the tree. They hadn't even noticed each other were naked. They were so in the spirit realm. They were so seen by faith that what they saw with their eyes was really insignificant. It didn't mean much to them prior to their fall. When you see that, what it does is in a sense, give me a goal that, you know what, this is how God created sinless man to be. And we need to start moving back in that direction. Now, let me just put a little parenthesis here, just for your own common edification so that you can apply this properly. Even if you become so spiritually minded that your mind is so on God that you don't even care or notice whether you've got clothes on or not, let me just say that not everybody else is that spiritually minded. And so for the sake of everybody else, please wear clothes. We do now live in a fallen world, and you know what? We need to take all of these things into account. But I'm saying, wouldn't this be something if you were so God-conscious that you didn't even really think about yourself or acknowledge all of this physical realm? You know, there are some people, you may take offense at this, I don't mean it to be offensive, but there are some people that spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours getting ready every day, just paying attention to the most minute detail. They are so focused on this physical realm, and yet they let their spiritual man, their emotional man, just be sick. I mean, be ugly, be neglected, and they don't care. They are so physically oriented. There are some people that spend so much time trying to get a tan. There are some people that spend so much time trying to lose weight, sculpt their body, lift weights. They do all of these things, which in their place, all of those things are okay. But I'm saying there are some people who give so much attention to the physical realm. They buy the best clothes. They wear the nicest clothes. They drive the nicest car. They want their lawn to be just perfect. Everything in the physical, they give so much detail to, and they are literally ignoring the existence of the inner man. They are starving spiritually, emotionally. They are ugly spiritually, emotionally. And they just don't even notice that. You know, I believe in evolution. I just don't believe that man evolved from slime up until this complicated, awesome being. I mean, with all of our frailties, it still is a tremendous testimony to the creative power of God. I don't believe we've evolved up. I believe we've evolved down. I believe that God started us out and we were walking so with God that we knew things. We were seen by faith. We weren't just carnal, physical, mechanical and operating in this limited realm, but man was able to know things. Man was able to focus on things. Man was able to perceive God. You know, I think that there are little hints of this even in nature right now. Like, for instance, animals, I believe, are many times able to perceive the spiritual realm when something is wrong, when there's demonic things. I've been in situations where animals just go crazy. They seem to be able to perceive things beyond just the physical realm much better than the average person does. I believe that some of those things are still evidenced in our creation today. And I really believe that the way most of us are living, to where we are just locked into, limited to what we can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. If we can't perceive it by our five senses, then as far as we're concerned, it just doesn't exist. I tell you, that is just a fraction, just a portion of what God created man to be. We have de-evolved into something much less than what God made. Now, remember all of the things that I said about Eve here and how that they were able to perceive things in the spirit realm. And look over in 2 Kings chapter 6, and here's an instance where Elisha and his servant were surrounded by Syrian troops that had come to take them. And the servant of Elisha just panicked and said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Which is Old English for saying that he panicked. And in verse 16, here's what Elisha said, 2 Kings 6:16, "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now again, if a person only acknowledges the physical realm And if they think all there is to reality is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, your five senses, then you know what? Elisha lied because he said there's more with us than there are with them. You could look at Elisha and his servant. There was two of them. And then you could count the Syrians by thousands, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Who knows how many thousands of Syrian troops had them surrounded. And people who only believe what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel is reality, then they would sit there and say, well, Elisha was one of these faith people. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. People that just think that if they'll say something that isn't true, if they'll keep saying it long enough, eventually it'll become true. Well, then people, see, would sit here and call Elisha, one of these faith people. They'd say he was lying. He was just saying something. And, you know, if all there is to reality is the five senses in this physical realm, well, then that would be a lie. But you know what? There is a spiritual realm. And we do have, we originally had, an ability to perceive things in the spiritual realm. And we still have that ability. It's just undeveloped in most people. What did Elisha do? Of course, the servant, I'm sure, thought that he was crazy. He was one of these non-faith type people that probably thought Elisha had been spending too much time writing the Bible, and he had just flipped out. He had missed it. And so here's what Elisha prayed in verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now here again, it's talking about opening your eyes. I can guarantee you, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, his eyes were probably as big as saucers. He was looking out there at the Syrians. This isn't talking about his physical eyes. His physical eyes were open, and that's why he panicked in the first place. This is talking about opening the eyes of his heart, letting him see by faith. Boy, this is powerful. He prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Did you know that when the Lord opened up Gehazi's eyes and he saw, is not when the horses and chariots of fire came, not when the angels of God came. They were already there, but they were in the unseen realm. What the Lord did was the exact opposite of what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve at one time were living in this unseen realm to where what was unseen was more seen by them than what you could see with your physical eyes. They were more seen with their heart than they were seen with their eyes. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they de-evolved. They started losing this ability to see by faith, and they started being limited to their five senses. And that plunged the world into this carnality and sensuality that we have today. What happened with Elisha and his servant was they were living, Elisha's servant at least, was living in this carnal plane to where he was dominated by what he saw. And he saw all of the Syrians, but Elisha was living by faith, and he was perceiving things that couldn't be seen. And so his statement when he said, those that be with us are more than those that be with them, it was a true statement. If you take all of reality into account, if you acknowledge that there is a spiritual world and that spiritual things are real and that angels are real, if you take all of reality into account, then Elisha didn't lie. He spoke the truth. He just spoke a truth that was greater than the physical truths that you can put into a test tube. People who sit here and criticize faith people for saying something that we believe we're going to go to heaven. We believe God is with us. We believe God is healing us when the doctor says, no, you're dying. People who only go by your five senses will sit there and ridicule that and say, man, you got your head in the sand. You aren't facing reality. And yet those very people are the ones who are denying reality. They're denying that there's anything beyond just your five senses, and they think that these five senses are all that there is to reality. But see, when Elisha's servant's eyes were opened, not his physical eyes, but the eyes of his heart, it was the reverse of what happened to Adam and Eve. They went from walking by faith to walking by sight. Elisha's servant went from walking by sight to all of a sudden seeing by faith. And when his faith opened up, the horses and chariots of fire surrounded them. And it was an absolutely true statement that there was more angels with Elisha than there was Syrian troops against them. Boy, that's powerful. And the truth is, with you and me, there are spiritual realities around us all of the time, but most of us are so carnal. The word carnal, according to Scripture, doesn't just mean sinful. All sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. The word carnal is literally just describing something that is limited to your five senses. People who are carnal are dominated by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They can't see with their heart. They are just going by only feelings. And sad to say, even most Christians today aren't knowing God intuitively by faith. They are looking for something physical, tangible. They're running over here and running to this meeting and running to this outpouring, trying to get a goosebump, trying to see something. And again, there's nothing wrong with that to a degree. But if you are limited to that, if the only time you can believe God and know God is when you see a physical manifestation, when the tree withers, when the body is healed, when something physical, tangible happens, if that's the only way you're going to know God, then you're going to have to depend upon other people who can go beyond just physical, natural things and can know God by faith to manifest these physical things so that you can see Him. You'll never get in touch with God that way. God, to know God, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is the way that God created us to be. You have that potential. I've used this logic before, but it bears repeating that every one of us at some time or another has been faced with a decision. Circumstances, our friends, our pressures, or something made us make a choice. It looked like the logical choice based on what you could see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, your five senses, but in your heart, you didn't feel good about it. And you went ahead and did it, and as soon as it happens, everything goes wrong, and you say, I knew in my heart I was not supposed to do that. You know what that was? That was this ability to see and to know something beyond your five senses. And every one of us have that ability. Every one of us have violated it at some time or another and have paid the cost. You can develop that. You can get to where the Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he walked more by faith than he did by sight. What he knew in his heart was more real to him than what he could see or feel. And that shouldn't be the exception. That should be normal. And you know, on our program tomorrow, I've got a tremendous example of this. It's probably going to take me the rest of the week to use some of these examples, but to illustrate how you can know things by your heart, how this is the way God made us to be. And brothers and sisters, I'm not denying the fact that we are physical and we have these five senses, but I am denying the fact that I have to be limited to them. There is an ability to know God with my heart that goes beyond just mere intellect. And it's paying off big time in my life. It can work for you.